This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to the Human-Animal Connection Show, where we believe we can communicate with all animals. Join us as we explore the 33 principles and healing methods of the human-animal connection. As animal lovers, we know that you share our commitment to making the world a kinder place for all creatures. Together, let's embrace the transformative healing power of the human-animal connection.
Hello, everyone. It's Jeannie from the Human-Animal Connection, and I am so happy to have Ellie Lax on today. She is the founder and creator of The Gentle Barn, and they work with rescue animals and with people who need a little help rescuing themselves. So we're going to find all about the good work that Ellie's doing at The Gentle Barn. So Ellie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really looking forward to this conversation.
Yeah. Now, I know you've written a book about called The Gentle Barn, as well as your book on cow hug therapy, which we're going to talk all about. But for our listeners who aren't familiar with The Gentle Barn, can you give us just a little overview of what it's all about?
Yeah. So the origin story of The Gentle Barn is written in my first book, My Gentle Barn, Creating a Sanctuary Where Animals Heal and Children Learn to Hope. It's the story that begins in my childhood, where I was born an animal communicator. I was born obsessed with animals. I recognized them in the woods and lakes around me as my best teachers, healers, and friends. And what perplexed me at a very young age is noticing that the people around me did not see animals the same way. Mm-hmm. People around me saw animals as things we eat, things we wear, and things we can throw away when we don't want them anymore. And I didn't get it at all. And so from the time I was 7, I would say, when I grow up, I'm going to have a big place full of animals and show the world how beautiful they are. And everything that I've done ever since in my life has been to that endeavor, until finally 25 years ago, I founded The Gentle Barn because I discovered an abusive petting zoo. Mm-hmm. And I went in to see what was going on. I was horror stricken at all the abuse and neglect. But more than the condition of the animals, what really upset me the most at that petting zoo was the apathy on all the faces of the human beings. Mm. The petting zoo was crowded that day, but not one single person seemed to see or acknowledge the suffering of the animals in front of them. And it made me absolutely sick to my stomach.
Oh.
I ran for the door, and blocking the exit was a very old goat that looked me in the eyes, stopped me in my tracks, and asked me for help. And I brought her home. With the help of a wonderful mobile veterinarian, was able to resuscitate her. And that goat Mary put me on the track for the rest of my life to finally found my childhood dream of The Gentle Barn. A few years later, a wonderful volunteer came into The Gentle Barn, and we ended up falling in love and joining forces and grew the organization from a little half-acre backyard to a national organization with 3 locations now. We're located in Los Angeles, California, Nashville, Tennessee, and St. Louis, Missouri. We currently have 200 rescued animals, but over the last 25 years, we've rescued thousands and thousands of animals, and we've been host to 1 million guests who have come in, heard the animal stories of resilience, hug cows, cuddle turkeys, give pigs tummy rubs, fallen in love with these animals, realize that they are so much more than the world gives up credit for, and have stepped up to be more kind, more humane to animals in their daily lives.
That is so beautiful. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's just wonderful work. Wonderful work. Well, I want to spend some time talking in particular about cow hug therapy, because I don't think a lot of people know about that. Tell us what it is, how it works, why it's good.
Yeah, so I filled the pages of my second book with so many stories of these remarkable cows, their resilience, their recovery, and the way they turn around to literally save humans and teach us all about our own humanity. The book's called Cow Hug Therapy. And I have stories in there about dogs and pigs and horses and lots of other animals as well. But the book primarily focuses on cows and their enormous, very specialized brand of healing for us.
Mm-hmm.
I think that all animals are healing, and I think that all animals have things to teach us. Mm-hmm. But cows are very unique in that when we're holding a cat, walking a dog, riding a horse, we're really in a power position.
Mm-hmm.
The animals love us, and they slow down our heart rate, and they release oxytocin and all the good things.
Mm-hmm.
But we're still in, at the end of the day, a power position. And I think that that's something unique that cows bring to the table. With cows, they are 3,000 pounds. You can't teach them or train them to do really anything. They are choosing to be therapists on their own volition because they're so nurturing and kind and loving and healing to themselves that once they accept human beings in their circle, they will extol that very special nurturing to us as well. And so we're not in a leadership position. And so resting our faces against a cow, closing our eyes, feeling their energy, getting grounded, getting centered, feeling their unconditional love, kind of matching our heartbeat to slow down with theirs, rise and fall with their breathing. It helps us be vulnerable. It helps us open. It helps us kind of return to childhood where we feel small, humble, and vulnerable against a giant protective frame where infinite possibilities live.
That's so wonderful. So beautiful. The idea that we could really, it's never too late to have a happy childhood, right? If you have a cow in your life.
It's so true. I mean, no matter what's going on in my very busy and sometimes stressful life, when I'm having a bad day, I go straight down to the cows and I rest against them. They encircle me with their necks and I instantly feel better.
Wow. That's just wonderful. Yeah. It's so interesting. Like, as you say, all the animals have healing ways in which they heal, but this cow healing method is very special. You know, it just has that quiet, powerful way that you can just melt into, I guess.
Yeah, it's kind of like animal-assisted therapy meets meditation.
Yes.
And it meets the best mom hug ever.
Uh-huh. Yeah, excellent. So, and I know you're also been since childhood communicating with animals. What have you learned specifically from cows about humans? Like, what is, how do the cows feel about us humans? I know we humans have not done well by cows, but I think they're capable of forgive. Well, before I say, what do you say? What have you learned from cows?
I have learned so much from cows that I could have written 5 books about them. You know, when you look at a cow in a pasture, you assume that they don't know what we're doing to their kind in slaughterhouses, that they don't know we're actually wearing them on our feet or with jackets, that they don't know that we're drinking their breast milk. Like, you just assume like all they know is their own little environment, their immediate environment. But what I've learned from cows is they have a very, very heightened awareness on what is happening to their kind on this planet. And I don't know if they learn it from the birds that fly in to give them information. I don't know if they read it in our own minds. But somehow when people come to the Gentle Barn to visit our animals, they know that they're wearing leather on their feet. Mm-hmm. And they lick them. And it's almost like they're saying sorry to the spirit of that animal that the human is wearing.
Mm.
They know before they come to the Gentle Barn that they're being prepared for slaughter. They know that their babies are stolen and taken away so that their breast milk could be used for humans to drink. They have a very, very heightened awareness of every single thing that we are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but they know their role at the Gentle Barn to open people's hearts and enlighten people to start helping instead of hurting.
Wow.
So when people come to embrace them, when their stories are told, when people are made aware of what's happening out there in animal agriculture, these cows at the Gentle Barn want to become ambassadors. They want to help us. They want to work alongside us. And they want to help open people's hearts and minds to what's happening and to their own responsibilities for how each of us can play a role in all of our salvations.
Yes.
Not only are they super aware of the state of humanity and this planet and their role in healing it, but they also know what's going on in each individual human being. When people sign on for a cow hug therapy at any of our 3 locations at the Gentle Barn, we don't ask them why they're booking a session.
Mm-hmm.
And unless they want to share it, we don't know what they're going through in their lives. We're just inviting them to come out and get the healing.
Mm-hmm.
The cows know, though. Mm-hmm. So when someone approaches the cows, if they need a good laugh, the cows will do something sweet and silly and make them giggle.
Uh-huh.
If they need to be grounded, centered, and kind of immersed in present time, the cow will start meditating with the person and hold still so the person can ground.
Mm.
And if they're in real trauma or grief and they're suffering immensely, the cows will literally wrap their necks around them and hold them.
Wow. That is so beautiful. Yeah.
And it's so interesting because watching the cow's reaction to our guest, then later the guest might open up with what they're going through and it matches the cow's reaction and response every single time.
Wow. So you have really solid data that the cows are able to distinguish human beings they've never met before, their emotional states, at least at that moment, and make choices based upon what they accurately perceive. I mean, that is such a phenomenal thing.
Every single time. We even have a cow named John Lewis, who's our youngest member of our cow hug therapy team. And he does not want to avail himself to people who just want to hug him or pet him because he's cute.
Mm-hmm.
That upsets him somehow. He feels unseen by that. Mm-hmm. So he, if someone just wants to come and just hang out with him, he will push them away.
Mm.
But over the years, there's been times where someone comes in, I don't know what they're going through, and John Lewis will immediately say, come here, and he'll wrap his neck around them and hold them. And when the embrace is over, sometimes it takes a couple hours, I will then say to the person, he only does that to people that are really suffering, are you okay? And they'll break down and they'll say, I'm dying of a disease, or I've just lost a loved one, or I've had tremendous trauma that I don't know how to heal from. And it matches John Lewis's response every single time.
Wow. Wow. So in addition, they sort of have specialties, like doctors who specialize in something. They have specialties that for human need. That is so phenomenal that you've been able to observe that. And it really, you know, we must change our view when we hear stories like this, you know, to realize that they're not just, to use the expression, dumb animals, you know, that they really are perceiving beyond what we could perceive. Like when you met that person, you didn't necessarily so know what their thing was just looking at them, but the cow knew.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, I see this all the time where we as human beings like to project parts of ourselves onto these animals. And we like to, you know, look at animals and say, oh, they're dumb or they're dangerous. And I have to say, as much as I love all beings, human beings, everyone, the only dumb, dangerous animals that I see on this planet are humans.
Mm.
And we're projecting ourselves onto these animals, but when we stop the projections and really look at these animals, are invited into their families and into their tribes, and are able to really see who they are and how they behave, oh my God, their wisdom, their enlightenment, their intelligence far surpasses ours.
Yes.
And you mentioned forgiveness earlier, and I will say that the way that I see cows, and really every animal, but like, let's just focus on cows for a second. They are literally coming onto this planet by the billions and getting slaughtered by the billions. Mm-hmm. And the way that I like to look at it, and this is what cows have told me over the years, they keep hoping, praying, and showing up for our own humanity, for our capacity to enlighten, for our capacity to truly love, for our capacity to truly see.
Mm.
And they keep showing up and we keep destroying them, and they will keep showing up over and over and over again, waiting and giving us an opportunity to open to who we are truly supposed to be.
Mm.
The love inside of us, they will keep showing up for us to open and to love and to show up who we're meant to be.
Wow. Now, I know that there are some cultures that have more reverence for cows than ours. I know that in India, the sacred cow, and there was one story, I forget where it was, that there was a temple cow, and the ceremonies wouldn't start until the cow came into the temple. And then they'd, okay, now we can begin. It wasn't like we could begin at 11 or whatever time it was. It was like, when the cow comes in, we can start.
I love that. I love that. After spending 25 years with cows, I can really understand why they have so much reverence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just absolutely beautiful. Well, we're going to take a short little break. When we come back, I want you to pick one of the cows, Karma or Buddha, Dudley, Mabel, whoever, and tell us their story. And we'll maybe get to hear a couple. So we'll be right back in just a moment. Don't go anywhere.
Gifts for my pets. Sparkle and love. Out.
how to care.
Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and is conveniently located on the cat tree. Go to cattreetray.com. Bring home a luxury French bulldog from the world-famous Tom King's Kennel. Premium French bulldogs from excellent European bloodlines. Superior puppy care and lifetime health guarantee for your perfect companion. Use code TOMKINGSMAGIC for a magical holiday discount. Visit TomKingsKennel.com and find your perfect Frenchie today. Your pets will be over the moon with sparkly jewelry from Over the Moon Jewelry. Beautiful handcrafted matching jewelry for you and your pet. Wire-wrapped, beaded contemporary necklaces, bracelets, and charms. Go to OverTheMoonJewelry.com.
Gifts for my pets. Joy in the air. Unwrapping dreams without a care.
Hey, friends. If you like what you're hearing and want to learn more, check out Dr. Joseph's book, The Human-Animal Connection, Deepening Relationships with Animals and Ourselves. Or visit the website, thehumananimalconnection.org, to book an online consultation. Thank you for loving animals. Now back to the show.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Human-Animal Connection, where I'm speaking with Ellie Lax, and she is the founder and creator of The Gentle Barn and the author of two books, including Cow Hug Therapy, which we're talking about today. So, Ellie, can you tell us, pick one of your favorite cow stories for our audience so that you could share with us?
So picking one is really difficult.
I know.
But I want to pick one that I don't talk about very often.
Okay.
It's possibly the most extraordinary thing that's ever happened in Gentle Barn history. We were contacted by Fox, who said that they're about to put out a movie called Ferdinand based on the book about a bull that was very gentle, and he just wanted to sniff the flowers instead of being a fighting bull. They said that they're putting out the animated movie, and they wanted to know if they could sponsor the real-life rescue of a real-life Ferdinand. We said, absolutely. So Jay, who is my husband and co-founder of The Gentle Barn, went to the auction house to see if there was a little baby that needed his help. It was an awful story, actually, where there was a mom that was brought out on the auction floor. She was being bid on. At the end of the auction, they tried to push her forward to get onto the slaughter truck, and she didn't want to move. And after really trying to get her to move, they realized why she wouldn't move. A little teeny tiny baby face peeked out from the other side of her. She had a little baby she was trying to protect. And so horrendously, they used more force to get her to move off the floor and onto the slaughter truck, but they blocked the baby from following her. And the person who had purchased her said, you know, he has no use for the baby. So Jay's watching all of this, and he starts running down, going, oh my God, he has to save this family. And he tried getting the person that bid on this mom to give her to him along with the baby so that he can keep this little family intact. But no amount of coercion, begging, bribing, nothing worked. And the man said, I'm sorry, I am taking this cow, but you can have the baby. So with no other choice, Jay picked up this very forlorn, very screaming, very panicked baby, put him in the trailer and drove him home to the Gentle Barn. This happy homecoming of this little perfect real life Ferdinand, you know, we didn't get that beautiful fantasy. Instead, we got a baby that was absolutely beside himself with grief. I have never seen, we see a lot of suffering. This was probably the most suffering I've ever seen. And me and my daughter, who was then 12, said, well, we've got to stay with him. We can't ever be leave him alone. And so my daughter and I moved into the little nursery with him. And we were with him all night long. Every time he stood up and went to the bathroom, we cleaned it up. Every time he hollered and cried for his mom, we would respond and tell him that we were so sorry, that it was so unfair, that we love him. When he finally, 3 days later, slumped into the ground, so bereft he couldn't even move, we put him in our laps and we held him and kissed him. I did energy healing on him. I kept painting the picture of what his life was going to look like to inspire him to keep going. That I know right now this is really awful, and the worst thing that could possibly happen to you has happened. But, you know, one day you're going to play with big bouncy balls, and you're going to have the gentle stroke of human hands, and you're going to have other animals keeping you company, and you're going to grow big and strong, and you're going to have a beautiful, beautiful life. And finally, very slowly, he started to heal. After the first week, Cheyenne and I were able to get other staff and volunteers to sign on for four-hour shifts. And so for the first 30 days of quarantine, he was never, ever, ever alone. Mm. And slowly, slowly, he started to accept our kindness, and he chose to live.
Oh.
Once his 30-day quarantine was over, I looked for another cow that could be his companion and bond with him while he was still in the nursery. And then when he was big enough to join the herd of cows, she would be his friend and take him to the herd, and he wouldn't be so alone. Well, to make a long story short, we chose our cow, Lucy, who is this little itty-bitty miniature orange cow with a white face. She was absolutely beautiful and precious, and she was so kind and thoughtful. We thought that she would be a good match for him. And so we brought her up to the nursery, and it was love at first moo. She looked at him, she mooed to him, she licked him, she ate by his side, she slept by his side, and she taught him to not be afraid of human touch. But she loved him so much, and she adopted him so completely that she produced milk for him.
Oh, beautiful.
And I didn't know that was possible.
Yeah.
But it turns out that even as humans, when humans are trying to adopt a baby, the lactation consultant can help them produce milk for their new baby. And I guess all mammals are capable of it. So Lucy nursed him three times a day, every single day, woke up with the sun nursing him, gave him lunch, and would nurse him in the evenings, and afterwards gave him a big tongue bath and would put him to bed just like any mom. And it was absolutely beautiful to see her love and devotion for an adopted child, and to see him get a second chance at having a mom.
Yes. That's so beautiful, because it goes beyond the biological imperative. You know, this was just like an adopted imperative, you know, it's a choice to mother this little lost one. So absolutely beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
And she was older. So, I mean, she did it at great sacrifice for herself. But it's not like she was big and overweight and young and in the prime of her life and had extra calories and extra energy to give him. She was old. She had arthritis. She was, you know, a thin in frame. And we had to really support her with acupuncture and massage therapy and extra grain and sun chlorella algae superfood and all these resources to keep her strong so she could give her energy to the baby.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Wow. That's so moving. And how's Ferdinand doing now?
He is an enormous, strong, healthy, giant man. He is strong, and he has a big, huge bovine family around him, and he loves back scratches, and he's living the good life. That's very wonderful. Proud of him.
Very wonderful. Wonderful. And cows, is it the sort of thing you should never have just one cow? Like, do they need each other to thrive? Or what's the story with that?
So I like to say that cows are our greatest teachers, and if we could be more like them, this whole planet would be completely different. Family is their most treasured ethic. They form a circle when someone is born to celebrate that newcomer. They form a circle when someone passes away to pay their respects. They form a circle around someone who's grieving and mourning to strengthen them so they can keep going. They are a beautiful tribe, a beautiful, beautiful tribe. They're matriarchal, led by the wisest and oldest female, connected to her intuition and her instincts, and that's how she leads. They're vegan, so they harm no one. Their feet and toes are designed to be eco-friendly to the pastures that they are moving through, so that the pastures are better off when they leave than when they found it. They face their problems head on and don't avoid their challenges. They have a lot of lessons to teach us about that. They are 100% inclusive. They accept and love anyone as long as they're kind. And so, no, a cow should never, ever, ever live alone. They thrive in family. They thrive nurturing one another, grooming with one another, meditating every single day together. And a cow on her own would be a travesty. They need to live in beautiful, big families.
Wonderful, wonderful. And what are cows' favorite other species? Like, who do cows most want to have around?
Really, anyone that's kind, they love hurting humans, like we've been talking about. They love dogs as long as they're gentle. They even get along with horses as long as they'll graze gently together. Mm-hmm. Birds land on their backs. Bunny mm-hmm. rabbits hop around the pasture. They, like I said, they're 100% inclusive, so they will welcome literally anyone as long as they're gentle.
Wow. So unlike, I know you know, in the rescue world, it's not always easy to bring a new member in with some species, but with cows, they just always include a newcomer?
Yes, that's absolutely right. And so with every other species that we have at the Gentle Barn, horses, donkeys, pigs, sheep, goats, chickens, turkeys, peacocks, llamas, emus, there is a very extensive introduction period for a new animal.
Mm-hmm.
They have to meet through a fence. They have to eat and sleep together. We have to spend weeks, sometimes months, getting them acclimated before we remove the fence and allow them to be with each other. And even then, that has to be supervised.
Yes.
But cows are the only animal that we can take a newcomer, put them in the pasture with no fuss, no introduction phase, nothing. And the cows will say, hello. And then make sure it might come up and put her forehead against the newcomer's forehead and say, I'm the boss. And then you say, okay, no problem.
Uh-huh.
If they're young, the babies might come and they might bonk heads to play.
Uh-huh.
They might run around together, kind of exploring the space together.
Yes.
That's it. There's no violence. There's no aggression. There's no rejection. They are 100% inclusive. It's beautiful to watch.
Wow. We should have cows run the country.
We really should. We really should. And I like to say, like, at sanctuaries, like the Gentle Barn, these beautiful tribes are sitting there as an example for who we used to be and who we must return to if we're going to ensure our own survival and peace on this planet for anyone.
Beautiful. Well, can you tell me a little bit about maybe a conversation that you had with a cow that really, like, made you go, oh my God. Yeah,
I've had a lot of conversations with cows, and they've really taught me so many wonderful things. But I think the most jarring, the most impactful, the most surprising conversation is a conversation that I had with a cow that was actually not mine. Mm-hmm. I was in a car driving between our Missouri location and our Nashville location, long stretch of road. And unfortunately, on these roads, there are a lot of slaughter trucks. And the traffic had slowed down, and so we were parallel to the slaughter truck. Mm-hmm. And usually I just look away, and then we speed off, and so I, you know, it's so painful to deal with. But this slaughter truck was literally next to me, mm-hmm. and I felt it so disrespectful to look away, even though it was just absolutely excruciating. And so I forced myself to look over there, and looking out the holes in the slaughter truck was this one specific cow who locked eyes with mine.
Mm.
Very unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
And so I asked her permission to speak with her, and she said yes. And I said to her, I'm so sorry this is happening. I'm so sorry that you and your family are going to slaughter. I just want you to know that me, and there are so many people like me, like Jay, like the people at the Gentle Barn, like people at other sanctuaries, we are working so hard to spread your message and to create a gentle world. I just don't want you to feel like you're alone.
Mm-hmm.
To which she said, and I could have never made this up if my life depended on it, because I didn't think this way.
Mm-hmm.
She said, don't cry for us. We're going home. And I said, but I'm sorry you have to. I'm sorry you're not on a beautiful green pasture, respected and revered by humanity. I'm sorry that your life was cut short. And she said, no. Don't ever cry for those going home. Going home is the most beautiful thing in the world.
Wow.
And so I said, I've spent my whole life being vegan, trying to advocate for these beautiful animals. And now you're telling me it's okay? Are you telling me it's okay for people to eat meat? Like, mm-hmm. what are you saying?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, here's the thing. Your work and those that find sanctuaries, those that are vegan, those that are connected to animals in the way that we are, the work isn't to cry for us that we're going home. Going home is a miracle.
Mm.
But your work is to shine the light in the dark places on this planet. And what I mean by that, she continued, is those human beings that are capable of taking a baby away from a mom or ending a life or neglecting a vibrant soul, that's the darkness on this planet. And so the work that you're doing is not to cry once we're going home. That's beautiful. Your work is to brighten up and heal and save the dark souls on this planet that can't see life when they look in our eyes. They can't feel our life force when they think about us. And they are capable of doing horrendously cruel things because they don't have love inside of their hearts. She said, that's the work that you're doing.
Yes. Yep.
And it blew my mind. It changed my life.
Yeah.
There's not a day that goes by that I don't think about that conversation.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. That's really awesome. I know I had a conversation like that with a horse in New York City, one of the carriage horses, and I was doing that same thing. I was thinking, oh, I'm so sorry that you're in this condition. And he looked at me and he said, no, I chose this. I'm here to teach.
Yes.
And it was like, I mean, it knocked me on my, you know, New York City in the middle of winter. It was freezing. This poor horse is, you know, doing this with the carriage. But yeah, I mean, they're just phenomenal. It's just so beautiful. So beautiful. That story, it made me cry. Just amazing. Well, how can people get in touch with you, or are they able to visit? Well, how can people stay connected to you or support you?
So first of all, I would love people to read my newest book, Cow Hug Therapy. And
which I've read. It's wonderful. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So many more stories of these incredible animals and lessons they have for us. And it's available on Amazon to read or listen to, and anywhere books are sold. People can find out more about the Gentle Barn, donate so we can save even more animals, come and visit and hug a cow, or schedule a cow hug therapy session at gentlebarn.org. And people can find out more about animal communication and animal communication sessions that I offer to people around the world at ellielax.com.
Okay, wonderful. Beautiful. Well, I know people will want to experience it more directly, reading your book, visiting your cows, supporting you in any way they can with donations. Thank you for the beautiful work that you're doing and all that you're communicating to the world, shining light in dark places, giving animals love every day. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And thank you for having me and having this show that allows listeners to fall more deeply in love with life and animals.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to have you on again because we've just done cows. So we've got horses and pigs and dogs and chickens to talk about too.
I would love that. Yes, please.
All right. We'll do that. Well, we'll say aloha for now and we'll see you in the next episode. This is Jeannie Joseph and Ellie Lax with the Human Animal Connection. Bye-bye.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand only on PetLifeRadio.com.